Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK charity helping people with cancer learn about and access integrative medicine. Cancer's a lot more than a tumour that needs cutting out or some damaged cells that need killing. And integrative medicine seeks to find solutions for all the many difficulties that people experience from the moment of diagnosis for the rest of their lives. Today, I'm speaking to Amanda King, a nutritionist, a metabolic practitioner who specialises in supporting people with cancer. Amanda, welcome back to the Yes Life show.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Great. So today, we're going to be speaking mainly about a natural anti-cancer compound that I've never come across until you mentioned it.
Right.
Tanoquiol. So that's one of the things about integrative oncology. There's always something you haven't come across.
Oh, yes.
So just out of interest, how did you come across it?
Actually, Tanoquiol came up a little bit in training with Naysha. I hadn't heard of it either. And a few patients had used Tanoquiol as well. And because it's something that it seems to be quite obscure, it seems to have been sort of, as you rightly say, there's a lot of compounds that come up in this sort of space. Lots of different things. People are always trying, looking for the next thing. So not a lot was known about it. So I just took it upon myself really to write about it, research it and see what it did and what all the excitement was about. And also because obviously if patients are using it, it's important that I have some idea of what it actually does. Yeah, exactly. And it's trying to keep on top of everything. There's so many different, new things coming up all the time. It's trying to keep up with that is really something.
It is. Okay. So before we actually dive into finding out about Tanoquiol, I just want to spend a moment speaking about what I call the new kid on the block syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
And how people looking for answers for their cancer can manage these things. So what I mean by this is I'm not saying by any means that Tanoquiol is going to gain that kind of status, but it might. What I mean is that often when something new arrives in the integrative oncology space, it's imbued with a sort of magical glow that almost inevitably wears off to some extent after a while. So you can understand why it happens like this. And in my experience, the best new kids, they kind of settle down from being incredible for everyone with cancer to being a useful strategy for some cancers and some people, while lots of other ones just disappear. So how would you advise someone to go about evaluating one of these new kids cutting through the hype?
That is definitely tricky. I mean, I suppose going right back to it, it would be about finding out the mechanisms, what the actual product does, what Tanoquiol, if that's the new kid on the block, is supposed to actually do. Is it unique? Is it needed? How likely is it that the pathway that it inhibits is going to be impactful to you with your cancer or in your situation? Just because it does 12 different things, is it actually applicable to you? And then what else is doing the same thing? Is it one in a bunch of stuff that all does the same thing? It's just that this one has a shiny new picture and a new name and it's just been, what does it do? I think you have to go right back to that. What does it do and how relevant is it?
So it's is it a duplication of features, if you like, the things that are more known, more tested and more safe and reliable? How relevant is it actually to you? I mean, it might be great for somebody, but is it actually great for you? These are the things you need to try and find out. And one part of this kind of new kid syndrome is that they've got a way of evoking the silver bullet thinking. That this is the thing that's going to fix the problem. Again, that's perfectly understandable in a way because everyone's desperate to fix the problem. But silver bullets is another issue, isn't it? Do you want to say something about those?
No, I agree with you. I think it is true. There is no, there is nothing. Otherwise, we would be testing that furiously. But there is nothing out there that is a cure for cancer yet. And we know that there's lots of different aspects in cancer that we need to approach. You know, we need to look at growth. We also need to look at spread. We need to look at, you know, metastasis. We need to look at the kind of fuel it uses. Nothing is dealing with everything at once. So there is no magic silver bullet. And actually, that's why I think people are, you know, trying to learn a lot, reading Substacks like mine and reading other people's work as well, to try to work out how they put together their own personalized kind of cocktail of supplements or approach or their own strategy that works for them as an individual. And that's the thing. There is there's no one magic silver bullet. Unfortunately,
no. As that kind of thinking is a bit counterproductive.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the matter in hand. Honokiol, what is it?
Okay, well, Honokiol is one. As we just said, it's not a cure-all or in any respect, but it's an extract that comes from the magnolia tree, and it's a specific kind. So the magnolia, the extract itself has been isolated and tested against various different kinds of cancer in preclinical studies. So there are no human trials with lots and lots of these supplements, but still the data's promising. So yeah, it's been very interesting to research.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They come from all sorts of obscure places, these things, don't they? I mean, it actually getting to find them is quite a deal, isn't it? It's a mixture between just dogged perseverance or luck, really, coming across something that does something. So, tell me a bit about why it's attracting the interest of researchers.
So I think it's particularly interesting because it seems to target loads of different pathways at once. So where we tend to, when I'm researching different compounds, today I've been writing about quercetin, and that also has a kind of multi-pathway mechanism. But Honokiol, out of everything I've ever researched, seems to have massive impact on loads of different pathways. So much that when I was looking at this, it was almost what does it not target as opposed to what does it target in terms of growth and signaling and, you know, proliferation and spread and things like that. So that was why it was so interesting, because it has so many different mechanisms.
Right. Okay. Well, look, you think in terms of metabolic science when you're working with patients, and you use these words like pathways liberally. And just let's talk a bit about the groundwork here. What you're actually talking about, the way of looking at cancer as a metabolic disease is a particular view, which is it's not common in the mainstream. But it does involve seeing how compounds or whatever affect these pathways. Do you want to just lay out the territory a bit, explain what we're talking about here?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of cancer as a disease of metabolism, we're always thinking about how does it fuel, where does it get the fuel from, how does that fuel impact the body, what is the outcome of it? So for example, you know, it's more commonly known these days that sugar or glucose or carbohydrates are a primary fuel of cancer. But then what happens in the body, we might call that a pathway. You can kind of maybe crudely see it as a road. It might travel down to get to a destination, and then that destination might mean more growth, or might mean it can duplicate itself quicker and move around the body more easily. So when we think about pathways, we think about that. Other things might be inflammation. So inflammation, we know, is a driver of the cancer process. It's one of the hallmarks of cancer. So anything that reduces inflammation pathways would be something that we would also look to inhibit or slow down. So when we talk about pathways, we're talking about things like that, processes in the body that could be slowed down either by reducing the fuel, so changing the kind of food that we eat, or by doing that and bringing something in that puts a roadblock in or causes it to stop taking fuel for that process.
Okay, and so what we're trying to do here is we're trying to particularly identify the pathways that cancer cells use as opposed to our own healthy cells in order to fuel themselves and grow and be healthy cancer cells. We want to actually slow those ones down, but obviously not do the same thing to our own cells. It'd be easy enough to slow them all down than me to suffer. But the art is in finding things that distinguish between these two things very much and target cancer cells particularly.
Yeah, I think that's true. But we have to remember that lots of these pathways are just normal biological pathways. So, you know, these are just regular growth pathways. It's not like they are just cancer growth pathways. They're just growth pathways. Mm. So these are just pathways in the body that the body uses, biological routes to create energy from nutrition, or in a healthy individual, that pathway might be used to make sure that there's good vascularization, so there's good networks of vessels that can carry nutrients to muscles, so an athlete can do a sprint in the Olympics. But that same pathway could be hijacked to create vessels that feed tumors as well. So we won't be able to, in the normal biology, we don't want to stop all pathways, but we want to slow down the ones that are going too fast. And cancers have certain weaknesses that we can exploit as well because they grow so fast. So, we try to kind of target those.
Right. So that's a distinguishing feature, is the speed of growth. And in fact, chemotherapy exploits that, and then it looks for fast dividing cells.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And really crudely, sometimes I explain it this way. You know, if you've got a regular cell division, a healthy cell might take a day to divide. Let's say it goes through four steps. And at step three, it's vulnerable. So that's the point at which any kind of poison or radiation might cause it to be damaged. And that happens once a day. But a cancer cell might divide once an hour. So it goes through the same process. But that means there are 24 opportunities in a day in a rapidly dividing cell where it hits the vulnerable point where it could be harmed. And that's why these kinds of processes can attack rapidly dividing cells more easily.
Right. Okay. So back to Hanokiol, you said it affects lots of pathways. Give us some examples.
Sure. So one example, which is, to be honest with you, it's not just Hanokiol that targets this pathway. It's just that Hanokiol seems to target loads of different ones, which was why it was really, exciting to learn about and write about. But one major pathway, since we're talking about growth, is called the PI3K and then AKT and then mTOR pathway. So without getting too technical, essentially what it does is it slows down. In fact, we just talked about it, the pathway where vessels might be, blood vessels might be created in the body to be sent to muscles to allow an athlete to run, or it might drive angiogenesis. Well, that pathway is called mTOR, small m, capital T-O-R, and that working backwards is driven by AKT, and that is driven by something called PI3K, which, when you keep going backwards, begins with glucose. So sugar, carbohydrates cause a spike in insulin. Insulin attaches to the cell, and then that makes, in the end, that process of growth happen. And so Hanokiol interrupts that. It kind of modulates it and stops it from being so fast, so proliferative. That's one of the pathways. And there are others as well. And some of the more common ones, like STAT3, which is common in triple negative breast cancer, which is a really difficult to treat cancer because there are so few targets and few areas to work on. But STAT3 is often faster upregulated in TNBC, and Hanokiol can slow that down. So it can work quite well. It's good for people who have difficult to treat cancers in the medical sphere to know that there are other things that could come in that just maybe could help to slow down a pathway, helping their medical treatment to work a bit better. We're not talking about cures with supplements at all. We're not talking about alternatives either. We're talking about complementing medical treatment symptomatic, giving somebody a bit of help, reducing a side effect here, and helping to modulate, hopefully, positively, with positive outcomes for them, modulate the environment.
Mm. So it's a sort of slow tipping of the balance we're trying to achieve here, just to make things work in our favour.
Yeah, I think that that is fair.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, so, you know, with the pathway delivering fuel to cancer cells, you obviously combine it with a strategy of reducing intake of the things that actually are fuel for that. But this will help further to just damp down the process, is what you're saying. So yeah. It's another damper.
Exactly. It's another string to the bow. And also it has other kinds of mechanisms. So, I mean, if you think it's doing that on one side, so it's suppressing growth of the fast dividing cells, which are much more glucose hungry, so they're much more affected than healthy cells. At the same time, it has an anti-inflammatory effect. Right. So it's damping down an inflammation response, which for many people who are living with cancer, inflammation is a problem. It needs to be managed, or, you know, you manage it with medications or supplements or both, but also with diet. The ketogenic diet is an anti-inflammatory diet, for example, that works well for people. So it is kind of multi-strategy. But when you've got something that does a lot of these things at once, that is quite a nice supplement to bring in.
It sounds good. Yeah, I see that. Yeah. So you used the word angiogenesis a little while ago, which is not a familiar word to everybody. So it'd just be nice to talk a little bit about that process and describe what it is and why it's important to try and slow that down.
Yeah. So tumor cells create their own environment called the tumor microenvironment. And in order to get enough supply, because obviously when a cancer cell starts to divide, it needs fuel. It cannot just create that out of thin air. It's got to actually have a supply. So it will signal to the body to make a vessel, like a small, you might even think of it like a small vein, a vessel that would be essentially carrying nutrients to the tumor. And so it signals, which then causes the body to create that. It sounds a bit kind of Yeah, it's not a pleasant, you know, way to imagine, but that is what happens. And so angiogenesis is the creation of these vessels that then bring the nutrients for.
I sort of picture it rather like a plant with lots of filament roots. It's sort of bedding itself in, getting itself some nutrients, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so wherever we can change that environment to stop the signaling, the tumor microenvironment, maybe make it more oxygenated, hyperbaric oxygen therapy does that, exercise does, you know, also using some supplements that might dampen the signaling. So reducing the cell signaling, honokiol can do that. It can dampen that process, and also slowing down the pathway, which would then take the nutrients to create the vessels that would then be made. So other strategies, not just honokiol, things like intermittent fasting will slow that process down. And even using other supplements along with, because you wouldn't ever just take honokiol and go, that's it, I've got the answer.
Right.
Well, we've got this that could help, you know, in this situation. It's shown more research to date is showing us a bit more impact in triple negative breast cancer, for example, or other kinds of cancers. And so in that situation, we might rely on it or hope that it's going to have an effect to dampen down the angiogenesis process. And then we might have some curcumin, which might reduce inflammation. And then also we're not going to bring in carbohydrates for growth because we're having a ketogenic diet. So we're using that because, you know, we don't want to bring in the glucose. We don't want excess amino acids and also fasting, which periodically starves the growth pathways as well.
So a real multi-pronged approach.
It should be.
Okay. So you mentioned about the kind of trials that have been carried out on honokiol so far. These, from what you're saying, are kind of lab studies on cells. Yeah, it's important for people who are looking into anything new for their own situation to appreciate the difference between the different kinds of trials and the weight of them and how much they should depend on science based on the kind of trial it is. Wow. So do you want to just say a little bit about the whole territory and how honokiol sits measured up against that?
Yeah, sure. So unfortunately, we don't have human phase three clinical trials for lots of these supplements. It is coming with the supplements, actually, because in the supplements realm, there is profit to be made, which is unfortunately usually the reason why those trials.
Unfortunately, it is.
Those trials tend to be conducted. So, you know, if there's going to be something in it for the person funding, then of course, although there is independent research out there, and there are people who are interested in furthering, you know, the bank of knowledge humanity has access to. But yeah, that's usually what we're looking at. So. It's the same with repurposed drugs as well. We have the phase three, you know, the RCT gold standard kinds of trials that are done on humans for their primary purpose. But for the repurposed side, we don't have, for the use in cancer, we don't have the human trials yet. So preclinical might be cell line studies. So it would be looking at cells in a petri dish, seeing what they do. And often cell line studies may not translate the same results into humans. So we have to treat those kinds of results with caution. Equally, when it's the best that's available, we have to work with what we've got. And this is where we are with a lot of this stuff is that, you know, we've got this information. We don't have 20 years to sit around and wait for whoever is going to profit from that supplement to then do a trial, which may or may not, you know, be conducted. We just need to get the information we've got now and do the best we can with what we've got. So we know that it may or may not be, and may or may not yield the results we expect in clinical trials with humans, but still we're using what we've got available.
Right. Okay. So this brings us on to another aspect of the whole thing, which is safety. So there's a balance here, isn't there, between these things, is that whether we're prepared to try something out that's got low evidence, but some evidence, It has a lot to do with how safe it is. So do you want to, first of all, say a little bit about that, how people should approach this kind of estimating this balance for themselves, and also how Honokiol sits in that scale?
Yeah, so Honokiol, it's been tested at certain levels, and it's got some history for use in naturopathic medicine, and it's considered to be extremely safe. There are some, but it is considered to be really, really safe. But you should always work with a practitioner or a doctor who understands supplementation and who will look into the risks for you against whatever it is that you're actually taking from a medication point of view. Contraindications need to always be checked. But with Honokiol, there is a theoretical kind of risk that it has a sort of anticoagulant effect. So if somebody was taking something like warfarin, for example, and they were having omega-3s on board, then you would want to tell your doctor, I'm also considering taking Honokiol. Do you think that it's safe in light of, this? Would it cause a risk to me? So the thing is that learn about it, find out about it, see if you can have a go at reading some of the research, and then speak to your doctor.
Right. Okay. So the message there is really that if it's got a green flag for safety, that's great, but that doesn't mean to say it's safe for you.
Right.
Because everybody's situation is different. Everybody's taking a different recipe in terms of other treatments they're having, particularly in the mainstream.
Yeah.
So are people using this alongside mainstream treatments?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, lots of people are using Honokiol alongside mainstream treatment. And it's actually shown in some trials to have some synergy as well. Again, preclinical, but yeah, I mean, in colorectal cancer, it was shown to have some synergy with a chemotherapy that was used in that kind of space. So these are the areas we need a lot more on. There are some compounds like, what was it, quercetin? There was one research paper that I saw earlier on today, because I'm writing about quercetin, where the authors concluded at the end that this absolutely should be included because of its effects. It should be included in regular standard treatment. And I think that that's where we're going with this. I think in the end, and it's not going to happen in the next decade, but I think in 10, 20 years, we might be looking at some of these herbal compounds being used in a deliberate way alongside other kinds of medical treatments.
I hope so. I mean, there does seem to be some magic in this in terms of making the medical treatments more effective, reducing the side effects, all this kind of stuff. The sum of the parts seems to be much more than the individual parts. Really interesting. I keep coming across examples of exactly the same thing where it's like, well, you put this one thing in here and it's surprising how effective it makes the whole treatment.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's that chap, and I've forgotten his name in this moment. Just everybody's talking about him at the moment. And he basically what he did is he found three different drugs. And those three drugs, when they worked together, showed lethality against pancreatic cancer cells, but individually they didn't.
Fascinating.
So together, this is the thing, when these compounds come together, they have a bigger effect than alone. So this is also what we've got to investigate.
Right. Okay. So tell us a little bit about what this looks like. Is it just like a regular supplement or something funky?
No, I think it's something that... So I understand that you can get Honokiol as a tincture, I think.
Okay.
But it's typically taken as a capsule. And there's one big provider in the Europe that I know that sells it, but it's actually not that easy to get hold of. It's not sold in every single main distributor of supplements yet, but it is sold. You can get it from a well-respected provider in the UK.
Okay, great. So it's readily available and it's easy to take. There's no big deal about it from that point of view.
No, you would just take it. You take it with food, the dose is set by the manufacturer, in terms of safety on the product. But still, check with your practitioner or your nutritionist, or medical herbalist, because it is a herb.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, going back to where we started the conversation, what gets found out over time is, well, who a particular treatment or whatever is good for, rather than believing that it's the greatest thing for everybody. How much do we know at the moment about who it's working for? Is there any distinction between the different kinds of cancer, for example, that are likely to be helped by Hanokiot?
Yeah, so I did mention colorectal cancer, and a recent study showed that there was a synergy with a chemotherapy called oxaliplatin, and that it enhanced the effects. It enhanced the chemotherapy effect. But the real benefit of that is that because there are so few side effects with Hanokiol and loads of side effects with chemotherapy, is hopefully it will allow the dose of chemotherapy to be lowered if that can be actually created as a medical treatment. That's the idea, is that these could actually potentiate the chemotherapies and actually reduce the dose. I think an oncologist might be thinking, could that increase the maximum tolerated dose? But we might be thinking,
right,
reducing the side effect. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, you know, there was some synergy found with metformin, which is used as an off-label drug in different kinds of hormonally driven cancers, but particularly breast cancer. So it was, you know, it was actually said on that paper that the combination of Hanokiol with metformin was considered an effective approach to induce death in hormone-resistant cells. So that's interesting.
That's very interesting, yeah.
And this is the thing, is that there's so much research like that in little pockets. So we bring it together and we're like, yeah, there's probably something here.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, there are so many questions, aren't there? When you get a new thing arrived like that, actually, there's so many questions to be answered that are the nuances that are associated with that particular approach, which it takes a long time to tease them out. It takes a massive amount of investment of time and energy researching each of these things, and some of them never get researched. They're just too obscure. But nonetheless, it might be the most important thing to you to know this. So there tends to be some sort of gamble involved, which is where we come back to the safety aspects. What's worth gambling on?
Yeah, exactly. But then I think it's more than just a gamble. I think that there is, you know, there's information available that we can use if we can just get to understand things like what does it affect in the body? And also when you talk about safety, like how is it actually, how does the body get rid of it? With honokiol, it's water soluble. So that means it can be excreted easily without really any problems on other sorts of metabolizing enzymes. But with other kinds of compounds, we know that that could interfere with drugs that are being taken. So yeah, I mean, I think that we can find out to reduce the risk, and, you know, make sure that we understand what's actually going on in the body when we suggest to somebody that this could be useful.
Yeah. Okay. So how about yourself? Are you using honokiol?
Yes, I use honokiol in my practice. So there are many people who will be listening to this who will be using honokiol because it does have a good safety profile, and it does work well with certain kinds of cancers according to the research that's available. So yes, I use it in my practice.
Okay, so do you want to give me a few examples of when you thought, I'm going to put some honokiol in the mix here? What's actually piqued your interest there and made you think that that's the thing for the job?
Yeah, so typically now with triple negative breast cancer, I would consider bringing honokiol in. And it does depend on the person. So it does depend what else they've got on board and what they're using that for. If I think that somebody is maybe not hitting certain pathways with what they've already got in their protocol, then I would bring honokiol into that. And because it's got quite a good safety profile, again, it does depend on the individual. You could bring in 100 different kinds of supplements, and then
exactly
crazy.
How do you choose?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
Do you choose what you can do?
Exactly. So what you want to do is look at what do you know about that person? Do we know about any pathways that are specifically upregulated or lost in that person? And what else have they got on board, and why? And is what they've got on board also targeting the pathway that honokiol might target? If it is, there's not really any point in bringing it in just because.
Right.
You've already got something on board that's working, keep that in if that's doing the dual thing. It depends what you're using them for. But if there's nothing else in the mix, honokiol would be something that I would bring in a blank space for a triple negative or maybe a colorectal case, depending on what's happening with that person.
It's an important point, this one, that nowadays, there's actually so many ways you can approach things within the integrative oncology sphere that the throwing the kitchen sink at it approach just isn't realistic, cost-effective, anything. You know, a much more pragmatic approach to choosing exactly which things to use and why is really important, in fact, in order to be safe, effective, and cost-effective.
I think it's really important. I mean, you know, it's the same with off-label drugs. You know, there are over, 3,000 potential off-label drugs out there.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane. What are you going to do? You know, you're not going to have 3,000 on board. You just rattle. So, yeah, you've got to find out what is the biggest hitter. You don't need 12 things for one pathway. Why would you? So I think what you've just said there about the why is so important. Find out why. Don't ever just throw something in and just go out, hope for the best. Know what's going on. Find out how it, not just what it does, how is it being cleared from the body? Is it going to stop other things from being cleared? You know, that's also really important.
Right. Okay. Well, look, we've got a few minutes left. I just want to sort of widen the question out a bit and talk a bit more about evaluating evidence. Now, lots of people, for cost reasons or whatever, are left to their own devices to work these things out for themselves. So it's quite a minefield. It's the case that, like, by conventional standards, the evidence for most integrative approaches to cancer, the kind of things that practitioners such as you are helping people with, is limited. Yeah, and in fact, there's lots of conventional doctors would say non-existent. The standards they're using are, in fact, simply a kind of agreed set of criteria, and they certainly don't add up to immutable fact. And it's good that people know that at the outset. So there are lots of people who are now questioning the foundation of the established standards and looking for options that have got, like, much more real-world relevance and validity for patients. So you've got this horribly complex territory. How do we dive in here where a lot of the evidence is coming from this system, which has existed for a long time, and come out with some useful information that can help inform our choices.
So it's better if you're working with somebody who is trained in this space, first of all. If you're looking at it for yourself, it is complex and there's a lot to it. As I've been finding out when I go into each individual supplement and spend an entire day just on that one. I think I would say be very discerning and don't jump on any bandwagon. Be aware that there is a lot of... I just had a case this yesterday. Somebody said, go and check out this product. And when I looked at this write-up from this person, it was very sensationalist. They were talking about the dark side of this particular therapy. And when I think it's important to understand the basics, which you can actually read about on the Metabolic Nutritionist Substack. I try to make that as clear as day. So what is an antioxidant? How does redox work? The basics of biology. What is a pro-oxidant therapy like chemotherapy, intravenous vitamin C or radiation? And how do antioxidants work in that, direct or otherwise? You know, try and find out. Make sure that you're educated. I think that's where it's got to begin. I think you have to go in and take the time and don't expect yourself to know. You're not going to be able to read a research paper just on the go like that. You're going to need to have the background and just take your time, you know, learn about those basics. But wherever there's a lot of sensationalism that ends in, and you should buy this product.
Right.
Take a step back, hold it lightly. Think about it and keep reading.
Right, so look out for the language. Very good advice. So get educated and watch your step and see what the maybe driving the piece of writing that you're reading. Yeah, interesting. All right, well, look, that was quite a quick look at a huge topic. But anyway, useful though, nonetheless. So thanks very much for that. We've actually got to the end of time. So I just want to thank you very much for introducing such a novel topic to me. I'm sure that lots of listeners will be feeling grateful for the information you shared. So thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here, Robin.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good day.
To find out more about Amanda and her work, visit her website, themetabolicnutritionist.com, and also, importantly, find her on substack.com under The Metabolic Nutritionist. The Yes to Life conferences for 2026 are taking shape in a very exciting way. The two conferences are on May the 16th online and September the 26th in person in Euston, London. The title of the two events is Reclaiming Our True Nature: What Science is Telling Us About the Impact of Psychological, Emotional and Spiritual Factors on Survivorship. It's a very exciting, cutting-edge topic in integrative oncology. This is a description of what's in store. This year's conferences focus in on the deeper forces at work affecting our overall longevity and, therefore, of great importance to anyone faced with a diagnosis of cancer. It's now been recognised that although factors such as diet and exercise are crucial elements to any lifestyle recovery programme, the effect of these will be seriously undermined if issues such as chronic stress, unresolved trauma, poor social connections and loneliness, disconnection from nature and its rhythms, or fundamental lack of purpose are not addressed. Our speakers will explore the science behind these findings and the available resources and support to embrace the changes required to reclaim our true nature. To create these events, we've teamed up with the brilliant Dr. Sam Watts, a leading proponent of lifestyle medicine and Ayurveda. The lineup of speakers is still building, but already we have Dr. Nasha Winters, Dr. David Hamilton, Dr. Leo Broomboom, Raj Jana, James Maskell, Sophie True, and Shelley Clark, all confirmed. making this probably the most exciting group of speakers we've ever assembled. The event has its own website, which is getting steadily populated with speakers and sessions as they're confirmed. It's at conference.yestolife.org.uk. And of course, you can snap up some super early bird seats there for either or for both events. Do take a look. When it comes to integrative cancer care, these conferences will be the leading events in the UK for people with cancer to learn from the experts, to explore suppliers and other organisations in the sector, and to meet other people on the same path as themselves in search of meaningful solutions to the challenges they face. To keep up to date on developments, you can sign up to our newsletter. It's in the footer of every page of our website, which is yestolife.org.uk, and or follow us on social media. That's on Instagram, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. Great to have you join me for the show today. I'll be back in a week's time with another edition of the Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. So do please join me again. Goodbye.